Good morning, everyone. We're going to call a meeting of the Board of Supervisors and the Liquor and Entertainment Board to order. Today is Thursday, October 20th, 2016. It is just 8:30 a.m. We're in the Community Center at the Sierra Room of the Community Center at 851 East William Street in our very own Carson City. Can we have a roll call? Good morning, Sue. How are
yes,
you?
Yes, good morning. Supervisor Bowd, Supervisor Bonkowski, Supervisor Bagwell, Supervisor Shook, Mayor Kroll, Mayor Corn.
Thank you, Sue. Sheriff, is Bruce Henderson here? I don't see it. So why don't we just stand and have a moment of silence and think about the good things and whatever we want to think about life a little bit. Move on to item number five. This is public comment. This is the time for any member of the public to talk about any topic that is relevant to or within the authority of the jurisdiction. And Ms. Wiesner, I would remind you again, we don't have a whole lot of jurisdiction. So, and I've also been told that there is litigation going on right now. I would ask that you respect what we can and can't do here and not discuss the litigation, because this is not the place to do that. And it's unfair in terms of, because it's just not the place to do it. So, if there's anything new, our answers generally don't change. As you know, we've had the legal issues looked at by the DA. The answer's not going to change. If there's anything that's outside of what I just said, feel free to try and give it a shot, okay?
Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate your listening to what I've been saying so far for several months now. I am speaking anonymously due to the fact that we survivors of domestic violence are suffering retaliation. And again, this is not litigation. These are legal causes of action.
No, excuse me. I've been told that there is litigation in Justice Court right now, and that it's active right now. So I don't want to go down that litigation path. I don't want to go down that at all. I mean,
right.
We don't have authority to do it.
I'm just trying to distinguish the difference between legal causes of action and litigation.
No, there is none in this context right now. There is none.
Okay.
Because you have litigation going on right now. That's a legal cause of action.
And it's not against the city of Carson.
It's against one of our personnel. And even if it weren't against this is not the place to talk about litigation because we have no authority over it. And I just ask you to remember that. It's unfair because in our system of justice, we do that in the judicial branch of government where each side has a chance to participate on an equal basis. But when one person takes advantage of public comment in a completely different forum, that's not a fair application of justice. So I'd ask you to bear those in mind.
Okay. We do have a disagreement of what I'm speaking about, so I will move on. The insurance company for Carson City has fired a law firm, and the law firm will have a conflict of interest. The law firm has a Las Vegas branch, and the Las Vegas branch is very aware of the catalyst for all of this destruction of child abuse evidence.
Okay, the child abuse evidence, we've been through that with respect to the court system. And we've had the district attorney talk to us. Our court system has followed the Supreme Court rules on evidence retention. And so, you know, I'd again ask you, I appreciate the fact that you want to make a point, but this is not the place to make that point. That you've got litigation going on, make that point over in the judicial forum where you've chosen to litigate, and that's fine. Go ahead. But not here, please. I just ask you, because it's not fair. It's not fair to other people who might want to have public comment, and it's really not fair to people who might be on the other side of the litigation who don't have the same capability of coming up and speaking during public comment.
Okay. Again, and I appreciate that, sir.
Right.
I do understand that. The point I am making is that the city is doing something that it does have authority over to stop doing it. Attorney Frelick, who is a staff attorney for the city of Carson, worked for Governor Givens as his legal counsel.
Okay, what's that have to do with anything?
I'm getting to that
All
point,
right,
sir.
Okay.
She met with Judy Ray, who was the liaison for Governor Givens, and she met with the chief of staff for Governor Givens. I believe it was Robin Reedy at the time. And they talked about what was happening in southern Nevada. And I know you'll probably stop me because what does that have to do with northern Nevada? It has a lot to do with northern Nevada. And at that meeting, they learned, Attorney Frelick learned that there are problems with domestic violence cases in the state of Nevada. Attorney Frelick has a duty to disclose to this panel what she knows and what is happening statewide.
Attorney Frelick has an obligation to give us her legal analysis now, and she's done that. And so, you know, if there's a problem with that, if you don't believe her legal advice is competent, you know, there are other avenues that you can take that up, but that's what she's told us. So I don't know what all the issues are with respect to who she's talked to and who hasn't, but I'd again say, you know, this is not the, we're not going to relitigate those issues on domestic violence because they're in court right now.
Well, I don't know what court they're in. So, and yes, I was served, and thank you for that. It explains why the supervisor to your right laughed out loud at the last meeting, because you know that you were going to serve me. That is not city litigation. And I know you disagree with me, but the facts are the facts. I am asking again to please stop destroying temporary protection order court case files that you do have authority over because you are contracting Shreddit to come in and shred those court case files that contain affidavits by survivors of domestic violence, including children. Thank you, sir.
All right. And so the record is clear. We've been advised by legal counsel that the document destruction process used here strictly complies with the rules set up by the Nevada Supreme Court. Anything else?
No.
All right. I apologize, but okay. Let's go on further public comment. Anybody? Good morning.
Is here? Oh.
Good morning, Avis.
And I'm president of the Sierra Nevada Association of Realtors. And I happened to hear that last board meeting, they presented some numbers of days on the market and homes on the market. And I wanted to clarify that. So I brought some numbers from our MLS data. And I also wanted to say I can see how someone would have said there's 500 houses on the market. Because yesterday when I looked at the Realtor.com did say 500 homes. But when I looked further at that, I found that they included pending homes. Pending homes are homes that are in escrow. So as of yesterday, in Carson City, there were 288 single-family homes and condos on the market. Of those, 124 are in escrow, leaving 164 active listings. And, of course, that includes houses from the bottom of the market to the million-dollar range. So it's nothing like 500 homes, and I thought I should clarify that.
Okay.
A healthy market is about 6 months of inventory, and we've been running about 2.5 to 4 months of inventory. So I just felt that I should come in and set the record straight. If you have questions, I'm here.
Okay. Anybody? I don't think so, but thanks for the information.
Sure.
Just so I know, what's the turnover rate again, please, in Carson City?
Turnover rate.
Turnover rate on
days on the market?
Yeah, for the market. What was it?
Well, it really depends on the price range. I mean, if you're looking at under 250,000, you're going to have a whole different number than if you look at a $1 million home.
Okay.
But an average, about 102 days, and that includes your escrow period, which is about 45 days.
And at the kind of the height of the like, I don't know if it's a height or not, but in 2005 there was a lot, the real estate market was really hot. What was it? Do you know what the turnover rate was back then?
Days on the market? I'd be guessing.
Okay, don't.
I could look at it.
I'd like to know outside of here. So.
Yeah, it.
Don't worry about guessing. Just.
Yeah, no, I don't know. But all right. They were moving real fast, of course.
All right.
But again, it depends on the price range.
All right. So, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. All right. All right. Any other public comment? Anybody? I don't see any. We'll have public comment as we go through, and we'll also have public comment at the end of the meeting here. All right. We'll move on to item number six, possible approval of the minutes of September 15th. The board members had a chance to look at those. Everybody in order? Motion's in order.
I move to approve the minutes of September 15th, 2016, as presented.
Second.
Motion and a second on the motion. Discussion? Hearing and seeing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried, unanimous. Thank you. Okay. Let's, Mr. City Manager, you told me earlier that no changes to the agenda?
No change.
Board members? Are we okay then, board, if we take the agenda as published? Without an objection, we will take the agenda as published. Let's now leave the dais and go down on the floor and do some good things and recognize those who do hard work for our community here on our length of service awards, please. Okay, this is a very important part of our agenda, and I'd like to call up Jesse Truel. Did I pronounce that last one? Truel. Jesse Truel works for our Public Works Department. Jesse, this is in recognition of an appreciation for 10 years of a continuous service to our community. Want to thank you. I know you got the garb on today, and it's always a pleasure to see you guys out there keeping care of our city. So on behalf of a grateful community, thanks for 10 years of service. All right, come up here. All right. Charles Stetler. Morning, Charles. Hey, Buck. All right, was there a story behind Buck?
No, there's always a story behind Buck.
It'd take all day.
Would?
Probably in tomorrow, too.
Oh, that's all right. You do, huh? Well, that's pretty cool. That's okay, you know. I don't want to say what I used to do in my younger days or whatever. All right. Buck, this is in recognition of 10 years of service to our community for helping keeping us safe, and thanks for everything you do. And it looks like you're in pretty darn good shape. So I'm going to hurry up and give this to you and get out of the way.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks. Ron Kennison. Morning, Ron. Yeah, is that with Saints today, huh? Always? All right, the Saints, okay. All right. Ron, on behalf of a grateful community, please accept this longevity award in recognition and appreciation for 15 years of continuous and dedicated service. Ron, on behalf of all of us, thanks for everything you do to help make Carson City a better place to live. Thank you. Heather. Good morning, Heather. Did you bring Jillian with you today? Oh. That's the queen. That's all right, Heather. Don't let him bother you there. That's all right. Heather, for all of you, this is Heather Mandel. And Heather, this is in recognition and appreciation for 15 years of continuous and dedicated service to Carson City. And as if you don't know, Heather works in the treasurer's office. And I have to say, I've had, I think, two mayors come through, at least one for sure, from another part of the country. And came into the office, and I got a letter from them saying, you know, those employees at the assessor's office and the treasurer's office are somebody, I mean, they always have a smile on their face, and they made us feel real welcome here. So, you know, I know, you know, both the treasurer and the assessor deal, you know, with people's money and people's things. So
take it every day.
Take it every day. And, you know, so I want to thank you, and on behalf of all of us, thank you. Keep a smile on your face. It's important. Thanks. All right. All right. All right.
Threatening me, harassment.
Yeah.
It's harassment.
Hey, Mayor. Mayor. Thanks, Chair. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, sir.
Appreciate it. I will. We're feisty. Thank you.
You know, I had one other thing, the Nevada Day proclamation. Board members, can I ask you to, I mean, we're back up. Let's go back down here, please.
We need to create a donut. We need to.
Tried to get, well, you know what, it's not on there, man. I just spaced by it. So you thought I was going to, you thought I was just going to let it go. Well, I know you weren't. Well, Ken and Janet, this is, everybody knows Nevada Day is coming up, and this is a proclamation for Nevada Day. The theme is Nevada, then and now. And the proclamation reads as follows. Whereas Nevada was admitted as the 36th state in the Sisterhood of the States on October 31st, 1864, by signature of the President of the United States of America, Abraham Lincoln. And whereas Admissions Day became a legal holiday in Nevada by legislative action in 1891, some 27 years after formal admission, and when a handful of history-minded Nevadans began a tradition of celebrating Nevada's admissions, said celebrations occurring in Reno from 1891 through 1937. And whereas Judge Clark J. Guild, did you know Clark J. Guild? Anybody here know Clark Guild? I guess I was old enough to know him, but you know, I know his grandkids, so I knew Clark Guild too. All right, Judge Clark J. Guild spearheaded the relocation of the Grand Birthday Party to Carson City in 1938, which was the 74th anniversary of the Battle of Bourne State. And this year, 2016, marks Carson City's 78th anniversary of the Nevada Day celebrations. And whereas this is a culminating year of the 152nd anniversary of the state of Nevada, recognized as the official holiday on October 28, 2015, and celebrated on October 29, 2016. Now, therefore, I, Robert Kroll, Mayor of Carson City, on this 152nd anniversary of the great state of Nevada, encourage all residents, friends, and visitors, and spectators alike to pause in honor of this momentous event and to join in the spirit of this year's theme, Nevada, then and now. So, and we've got Ken Hamilton and Janet Baker here from the Nevada Day Committee. Why don't you come up and tell us a little bit about what's going to be going on that day? Yeah, seriously. Come on. And then we want to get a picture. Come on, Ken. All right.
Thanks, Janet.
Come on up here, Janet.
So thank you, Bob.
I'm going to give this to you.
Well, let me just say I'm really looking forward to the Nevada Day Parade this year, and even more so for the day after so I can get some sleep. So, Actually, it starts out Friday on Nevada Day, the holiday itself, where we have Road to the Future. So I thought I might mention that, where the festivities start at 11 o'clock and go until 7. And a lot of the it'll be all downtown. Dean DeLillo has been helping out with the Nugget as far as the Arlington Square as well. We'll have a beer garden and vendors, and over on Proctor Street, Food for Thought. We'll be having bounce houses and kids' activities going on at that time. And then on Saturday, we have the weather pending. We'll have the balloons launching at 8 o'clock in the morning. And then I have been promised that we will actually have military jets coming out of Fallon this year, followed by
Navy.
Is it Navy? I'm sorry, sir. Of course. Yeah. What do they call it? NAWDC now? They keep changing the name on me. Anyways, there's some planes coming out of Fallon. So followed by, I think we have a Cessna coming from Douglas County Squadron Silver Air Patrol. And we Cactus Air Force has a also a Cessna and a Grumman Albatross. And the Washoe County Sheriff has their Raven, 1970 Raven HH1 Huey helicopter. All right. So good flyover this year. And then parade starts. We have a ribbon cutting of sorts. We also have a ribbon cutting on Friday, which that'll be at noon on William and Carson Street, correct?
Right in front of the Capitol.
Right in front of, oh, it's going to be in front of the Capitol. Okay, thank you. I didn't realize that.
Things are moving around over there.
Yeah.
So we're going to have
last to know.
I'm last to know. So our
ribbon cutting is going to be Loomis Associates and some other city officials, and they're going to be parade entry zero this year. So they're going to be starting the parade out after the military flyover, and they're going to have a ribbon cutting, and then they'll proceed down, and then the parade will start right after that. And then rock drilling will be over at the old Citibank parking lot this year, and the beard contest is going to be at the McFadden Plaza. So come out and join us.
Do you want to come up real quick?
Yeah, Friday the 28th is called Road to the Future. It's not the Carson Nuggets event, but I'm proud to be part of the event. The DBA has really had a big role along with the Visitors Bureau and the city. It's really a great collection of downtown businesses and community that's really pulled together to do this event. The May Adams Foundation has been a big, huge supporter of it. And I think the child of that came up with the idea, the birth of the idea, came from the May Adams Foundation. So what's happening on the 28th, starting at noon, is we're going to recognize the beautiful downtown street that just is, I think, a day away from being completed. I'd like to thank all the people that were part of that and all the businesses that endured the 7 months of construction. It's for a great cause, and I think everyone can see right now how beautiful the street is and what's happening. So at noon, we're going to do the ribbon cutting. I'm not sure where. I thought it was on Williams, but it might be at the Capitol, but there's going to be a ribbon cutting at noon. And then there will be bands throughout the entire day from noon till 7 o'clock. Arlington Square is going to have a beer garden and live bands from noon to 7, and then down I believe by the Firkin and Fox is going to be some more bands going on, and it's going to even tie into the Brewery Arts Center at 7 o'clock with some other festivities. All the businesses are going to be participating downtown. Everyone's being asked to come to out on the sidewalk, the beautiful wide sidewalks with booths and balloons and giveaways and festivities. So from William Street all the way down to the Ormsby House, I think you're going to see a lot of activities and a lot of festivities and just a lot of fun. We encourage everyone to come out and participate. I believe the Visitors Bureau's got a passport that allows you to win stuff along the way, and Bike Smith is being involved in a Blinking Man activity. There's just so many people jumping on board every single day. The support for this event is phenomenal, and there's been no restrictions to who wants to jump in and support it. And the Carson Nugget is proud to be a part of that, and we'll be running a very small part of it, the Arlington Plaza. So I encourage everyone to come out. And we're also proud to be diamond sponsor for the Nevada Day Parade. And I've heard Batman's going to show up. I'm not sure, but Batman might be there for all the kids. And we're also sponsoring the Food for Thought thing on Friday. And Batman's going to be giving away some free rides in the Batmobile to the kids on Friday up and down Carson Street. So keep your eyes out for the 1966 Batmobile. You know, you're the second. There's like three people. Yeah. 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 If you're under 108, you're considered a child.
Just made it. Thanks.
Well, now we know what's going on Friday the 28th and Nevada Day, and it's going to be a big celebration. There's a lot going on. So can we get a picture of all of us up here? Okay, come on up. Okay, we'll now recess as the Board of Supervisors, and we will call to order the Liquor and Entertainment Board. Let the record reflect that we have all five board members are here together with the sheriff. So we have everybody who's on the Liquor and Entertainment Board. Now's the time for public comment for matters coming within the jurisdiction of the Liquor and Entertainment Board public comment. Anybody? I don't see any. So then everybody had a chance to look at the minutes of the board for August 4th. Motion's in order.
I move to approve the minutes of August 4th, 2016 as presented.
Second. Motion and a second on the motion discussion. Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried, unanimous. Thank you. All right, let's now take up item 13. This is the first one on community development business license. This is for Southern Glazers Wine and Spirits. Who's going to do this? Lena? Thanks.
This item is for possible action to approve Reggie Cunnell as the liquor manager for Southern Glazers Wine and Spirits LLC, doing business as Southern Glazers of Nevada, liquor license number 17-3984, located in Sparks, Nevada. They are applying to add a new liquor manager to the current wholesale liquor license. The applicant has met the requirements, and staff is recommending approval. I would also like to note that in the original proposed motion on the staff report, a condition was put in for the server training. After discussion with the district attorney's office, we would like to remove that condition since they are a wholesale distributor.
Okay. Any questions? Public comment? Motion's in order.
I move to approve Reggie Cannell as the liquor manager for Southern Glazers Wine and Spirits LLC, DBA Southern Glazers of Nevada, liquor license 17-3984, located in Sparks, Nevada.
Motion and second on the motion discussion. Hearing not all in favor, signal by saying aye. Opposed, nay. Carried, unanimous. Thank you. All right, let's move on to 13B. This is to approve Dean DeLulu as the liquor manager of Carson Nugget Casino Inc. Lena, you want to take care of this one?
This item is for possible action to approve Dean DeLulo as the liquor manager for Carson Nugget Casino, liquor license number 17-27165, located at 507 North Carson Street. He is applying to add the new liquor manager to the current liquor license. He has met the requirements, and staff is recommending approval.
Any questions? Questions?
I move to approve Dean DeLillo as the liquor manager for Carson Nugget Casino, Inc., liquor license 17-27165, located at 507 North Carson Street, subject to the following condition that the liquor manager must complete a server training course acceptable to the Sheriff's Office within 120 days pursuant to Carson City Municipal Code 4.13.060.
There's a motion and a second on the motion. Discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, signify. Public comment on that motion? I don't see anybody. On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried, unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, Dean. You want to add anything about what's going on to Nugget? You want to take what you're doing down there? Come on up.
It's your chance to brag.
It's your chance to brag. Come on. You can say anything you want. Now the motion's passed, so go ahead.
I thought it was going to be limited to Nevada Day and Road to the Future, but okay.
No, just talk about the Nugget.
That's Mayor, distinguished board members, thank you for having me here. 3 years ago, I made a commitment to come to Carson City, and I'm very proud of that commitment. But it's neat being part of an iconic property that's been around since 1954. In the last 2 years, we've invested a lot of capital in our restaurants. Very proud to have a great Italian restaurant named Angelina's, a fun little coffee and wine bar and deli called A Latte. We had a fun time last night with the presidential debate. We also have our 24-hour All-American Eatery. And we really think we've stepped up the culinary side of the Carson Nugget. And we're going to have a huge commitment to the culinary side, you know, educating people more on wines in the A Latte wine bar and, you know, doing things like we're doing tonight and bringing in wineries from all around the country and doing, you know, wine dinners in it. Exposing people to the finer culinary things. You know, I think that the team at the Carson Nugget is fantastic, and they've got a commitment to guest service, and we just want to keep making the Carson Nugget better and better every single year.
Thanks, Dean.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure that you have everybody knows what's going on down here, because there's a lot, and we appreciate the investment that you have in our community. A latte. There's a latte going on.
There's a latte going on.
I got that. All right. Yeah, that's Bukowski here. Yeah.
Nice.
That's quick. But we appreciate your investment in our community, and just thanks from all of us here.
Okay. Great. Thank you. It's great to be here.
All right. All right. All right, folks. Concluding public comment on Liquor and Entertainment Board. Anybody? I don't see any. Are we ready to adjourn? Unless there's an objection, we will adjourn as the Liquor and Entertainment Board, and we'll reconvene as the Board of Supervisors. We'll take up item 17. This is for the sheriff, reclassifying hourly APRN position to a full APRN position at a salary range of $83,847 to $98,170. Sheriff, you want to? Well, you got everybody here with you. Okay.
Who's got backup.
Got backup. All right. Go. Backup.
Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is an item for consideration to approve the reclassifying of an hourly APRN, advanced practitioner, registered nurse.
Advanced practice registered nurse.
There we go. Position to a full-time position at a salary range of $83,847 to $98,170. Just before I go into the staff summary, I'd like to give you just a little bit of a piece of a background. As you know, we would not normally come to you outside of the budget process. This position was previously budgeted through the health department. In July, that contract, if you will, kind of slipped through, and Nikki can give you the back.
Nikki Aker, Director of Carson City Health and Human Services. So we had a contract with Physicians Select Management to provide a doctor and a APRN in the jail, and that contract went through June 30th of 2016. And Physician Select Management decided, after we went through our budget process, not to renew that contract. And so we were in the situation that we were looking at the doctor and the APRN as being independent contractors. The doctor decided that he wanted to retire. Then we were in conversations with the APRN. We decided to go the employee route. So right now that position is a part-time APRN.
So that put us into a basket, and we sat down with the city manager and finance folks, and looking forward to the future, this may be an opportunity for this community to make an adjustment that I feel is appropriate, and that's to move that position over to the sheriff's office and classify it as a full-time position. The current APRN is retiring at the end of December. He currently works approximately 35 hours a week covering jail medical services in jail and juvenile detention. He sees approximately 50 inmates a day. The jail medical services have been steadily increasing with a 25% increase within the last 3 years, warranting a full-time position. It is anticipated that the increase will continue due to the population being served. Progressive strides have been and continue to be made to address mental health issues in this community and certainly in the detention environment within this population, and it is the desire to continue to enhance the programs, and having an APRN in the jail setting is, in my opinion, absolutely necessary. It is anticipated that in disclosure to for all of the communications, it is anticipated that this position will be very difficult to fill, and we have been working on this diligently for quite some time. Due to the difficulty of hiring the position, a full-time benefited position would be more appealing compared to a part-time non-benefited position. As to the reclassification goes, I would like to hand it over to Robin here for a moment and discuss or at least provide your information about the costing to this agenda item.
Good morning. Robin Bennett, Sheriff's Office. So this position is currently budgeted at $115,000 is our allocation for the position now. And hiring full-time with benefits, to date, we have spent through September 15th, $19,500. So needed through the remainder of the fiscal year will be $29,000, which hiring a full-time APRN in January will require an additional $7,000 to fill that position. Beginning January of 2017, with salary benefits, we also include uniform allowance, a phone allowance, because they're on call. It would be $72,806. So the augmentation needed for fiscal year 17 would be about $6,500.
So to make something very simple, complicated, we're all here.
Right.
Yeah. The simplicity of it is this. It is a current position. It is a position that is managed, if you will, by Health and Human Services. We do choose to bring it over to the Sheriff's Department as a permanent FTE. That process will continue in the upcoming budget cycle for more discussions. To get us through this year, we do need this augmentation and continue the process. This is a compliment to all of the city workers that we've taken a small idea and made a major project out of it.
Mm-hmm. We have questions up here, so Karen, then Lori.
And Nikki, maybe you are the one to answer this, not sure. Will there be malpractice insurance involved with this position? And if so, who picks that up?
Yes, there is malpractice that they need to carry, and it has been customary that we would pick that up.
What cost is that an additional augmentation that is going to come with this item in fiscal year 17?
Yes, we would need to include that, and in my last conversations with the APRN, it runs about $1,100 a year. Thank you.
It's expensive, malpractice insurance, and I know we're doing one at Fish right now, and it's more like $5,500, but we don't have very many, one nurse. So my question kind of goes along line with that, and I don't have any issue with the position, but is there anything for the licensure or concern that it's under the sheriff's office, or would you have nursing issues that you would just refer to Nikki if there's any problems that arise due to nursing issues?
Kenny and I have had a lot of discussions about this, and I have agreed to be a consultant for him. The Nurse Practice Act in the last legislative session was changed that advanced practice RNs can practice autonomously, so they don't need to be under a physician.
So I'd like to know a little more about what happens if we don't have this position. So, you know, in our packet it says that if we were not proactive and had this position seeing people at the jail, then inmates would be taken to the emergency room. So can you walk us through what that process would be like if we didn't have this position and what the estimated cost would be? So what I'm trying to do is get at, you know, we're going to spend $115,000 or $120,000, whatever it is, for this position. What would we spend if we didn't have it? Would it be twice that?
You know, Mr. Brunkowski, that's a great issue, and it goes to the core of this position. Whether we talk about court services or medical services, anytime you have to pull an inmate out of the detention environment to provide an event, it adds a cost, and it comes down to one-on-one, one inmate to one officer. Staffing levels would not permit that. All of the inmates that had reported illnesses, and by the way, reported illnesses by them, not by us. If he reports he would is not feeling well, then he's going to have to be seen by somebody. We have a very high standard for meeting those requests. And as you saw earlier, about 50 a day would have to be transported to a medical facility of some type by our officers so that they could be seen for their colds, flus, illnesses, injuries, and so on. The cost would be enormous. We build jails today and courts together, so you're not transporting inmates everywhere. It's an efficiency in government. The jail environment was built with a medical facility inside the jail. Again, that's an efficiency accomplishment, and we need to continue that. On the average, for every hour of overtime, you're probably looking at about $50 overtime for an officer to manage an inmate to go to a facility. Then you add on the medical care costs on top of that. There's options out there. What do you call it? The critical care units, emergency room visits. Those would just break our backs. And when I say our, I don't mean the sheriff's office. I literally mean the city.
Good morning. This covers the salary. What about supplies and materials that this person would need to conduct, the personal, I guess, how they examine people or something? So do they have any supplies that we have to purchase, and where would that funding come from?
Those are already all in place. As I said, this program is in place right now. It is functioning, has been functioning. This is merely a accountability where this person is going to be overseen, assigned to FTA allocations. The commissary and the medical facilities are running sufficiently right now with their supplies.
And would this person be on call too? If we need them, they can come in whenever you need them?
Again, Mr. Shirk, another good point. This person responds to the jail needs 24 hours a day. And I dare say I'm going to say it anyways, Mr. Ramsey has been absolutely phenomenal in meeting our needs all the way around the clock.
Any other questions of the panel? Public comment, anybody want to weigh in? I don't see any motions. We're ready for a motion. Supervisor Abel, go.
I move to approve reclassifying an hourly APRN position to a full-time APRN position at a salary range of $83,847 to $98,170.
There's a motion and a second on the motion. Discussion. Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, nay. Carried, unanimous. Thank you very much. Thank you, panel. Okay. Let's move to item 18.
Everybody had a chance to look at the condition of each fund in the Treasury and the statements that we get? Any questions? Public comment? Motion's in order.
I move to accept the report on the condition of each fund in the Treasury and the statements of receipts and expenditures through October 7, 2016, per NRS 251.030 and NRS 354.290.
Motion and a second on the motion discussion. Hearing none, all in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Thank you, Nancy. You know, when there's no questions, it means you're doing all right, so don't worry about it, all right? All right, let's pick up, take up item 19, purchasing and contracts. Laura.
Good morning. Laura Tadman, purchasing and contracts. This item is to approve the purchase of various vaccinations and pharmaceuticals through various joinder contracts with Sanofi, Pasteur, Merck, Sharp, and Dome, Cardinal Health, GlaxoSmithKline, and Pfizer for a total amount not to exceed $432,500.
Got questions? Anybody? We okay with this? Public comment? We got a question. Go.
Did Nikki just walk outside?
There's a few others that can answer if possible.
Okay. So can you give us the short version of the money in the account and how that account is populated? In other words, this isn't just general fund money. This includes revenue from services. So can you kind of give us a rundown of the total amount in the account, which is $741,000, what we've spent on vaccines for this fiscal year, what we might still be spending on the balance of the fiscal year, and then going into the next year. And the contract, this is where I was a little confused, is that the contract, the joinder contract, is on a fiscal year like ours. So it's July 1st through June 30th, but there seems to be a difference between when the contract runs and when the joiner contract runs. One's on a calendar year, one's on a fiscal year. So it wasn't clear to me why we're talking about this mid-year when the joiner contract is on a fiscal year, which would have been 4 months ago.
Okay, Nikki Aker, Director of Carson City Health and Human Services. I'm trying to follow what you're asking here.
Let me rephrase it, Nikki. There's first tackle the first question, which is give us a rundown on the account and how some of it is, where the revenue sources are coming from, because some of this is from services. So that's the first part. The second part is I'm just having a hard time understanding. Like, we went through the budget process. We have an amount appropriated for vaccines. We've spent a certain amount for this fiscal year. Tell me why we're talking about a contract now that should have already been appropriated for. That's what I'm missing.
That's because I was late doing the joint contracts. Oh, sorry. I've never done this before. Ana Jimenez.
Health finance.
At this point, representing health, but I'm with finance. So I was late doing the joinder contracts because of various reasons. We were waiting on letters because we have to have letters that say from the vendors that they're going to
honor
the pricing. So we were waiting on several things. And so it is on a fiscal year, but I was late doing all of the contracts.
Okay, thank you. And then, Nikki, if you can talk about the funding.
Yes, so the funding, it comes from, the revenue comes from the charges that we're charging for vaccines or for services, and that goes into our revenue account. So these are basically revenue from services provided.
Nikki, I just have a question. You know, we've had a batch of vaccinations that wasn't very effective. Is there any compensation with these companies if you get an ineffective batch of vaccinations at all? Or is this just money spent and with no effect?
It's money spent. You know, the vaccine is developed long before, you know, we see the influenza here in the United States. They do their best to match that up, and occasionally there are years that doesn't match up very well. And so, yeah, it's money spent, and we don't get any rebates back or anything.
Other questions of the panel? Public comment? See none. Okay, we're ready for a motion. Anybody want to do it?
I move to approve the purchase of various vaccinations and pharmaceuticals for Health and Human Services Department through joint contracts with Sanofi Pasteur, Merck Sharp and Dohme, Cardinal Health, GlaxoSmithKline, and Pfizer Pharmaceuticals, and the total amount not to exceed $432,500 to be funded from the Health and Human Services Private Vaccine, Clinical Services, and various grant fund accounts for fiscal year 2016-2017.
Motion in a couple seconds on the motion discussion. Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried unanimous. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And can I just take a moment and we are pod exerciser, our point of distribution exerciser, the point of dispensing is on Saturday, this coming Saturday, October 22nd. So that is where the public can get flu shots. We will be collecting insurance information and billing. It's, like I said, it's at Carson Mall from 10 to 2.
So. Carson Mall, 10 to 2. All right. All right. Thank you. Thanks for that update, too. I'll be down there. All right. Libraries, we ready for libraries? Let's take up item 19B. This is for the Cooperative Libraries Automated Network dues, I think there are. Okay, go. Laura, Ms. Tadman.
All right, this is to approve the annual services payment to the Cooperative Libraries Automated Network for a not-to-exceed amount of $58,485.72. This is an interlocal agreement that has been in place since 2014 and has reached the 50,000 threshold requiring board approval.
Budgeted? It is budgeted. Okay. Ms. Lloyd, why don't you take us through, or whoever wants to do it, take us through what we're doing here.
Okay, so our Cooperative Libraries Automated Network Agreement provides services to the library such as keeping our patron records and online public library catalog up and running. We also share reference and research services with other libraries throughout Nevada. We also have special events, children and family programs. We share books on tape, in print, CD, and online resources. And that keeps our costs down. Just one instance, and it's in your packet as well, is our interlibrary loan services provides a net savings to Carson City Library of about $18,000 in the last fiscal year. And you can see the list of member libraries is quite extensive. There are some libraries in Nevada that do not participate in this system, but we do still share and borrow from them as well.
Lori, go.
So, good morning. I'll start with that. Can you tell me how the ratios by each library is determined for the price? So how did it get arrived at for $58,000 for Carson City?
So each library is a member library, and the costs of services are shared based on our usage of our system. So the Carson City Library has approximately 35,000 patrons in our system, and so that's how the costs are distributed. So each library, so for instance, Lyon County Libraries might have 20,000 patrons in the system, and so they have less usage of the system. Does that make sense?
So number of library cards that are registered through the systems determines?
The actual users.
Usage each year from the prior year, and then it rolls forward to determine for the next year.
Correct.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Anybody? Public comment? I don't see any motion. Who wants to approve it? Supervisor Pankowski.
I move to approve the payment for the annual library services as part of the cooperative agreement with the Cooperative Libraries Automated Network for an amount not to exceed $58,485.72 to be funded from the library's contractual services budget.
Motion in a couple seconds on the motion discussion. Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, nay. Carried unanimous. Thank you very much. Thank you. All right, folks. Let's take up item 20. This is Parks and Rec, and Supervisor Bagwell's got a disclosure to make. Let me just introduce it, then we can disclose on that. This is to accept a $52,461 match. To accept $52,000 Nevada Department of Wildlife Hunter Education Shooting Range Subgrant Award W-511-HS-09 for design and construction of a restroom facility and associated site improvements at the Carson City Rifle and Pistol Range, and authorize the mayor to sign the grant agreement on behalf of Carson City. Supervisor Bagwell, go.
NRS 281-420 requires me to disclose a conflict in interest and abstain where required. I serve on the Parks Foundation, a nonprofit foundation. The foundation is contributing $6,010 of the matching funds needed for the requested grant. Although as a member of the foundation, I have a commitment in a private capacity to the interests of the foundation, it is the interest of the foundation to donate money to the City Parks and Recreation Department towards matching funds for requested grants. Therefore, under these circumstances, the independence of judgment of a reasonable person in my position would not be materially affected by this commitment, and I intend to vote.
Any other disclosures? Thank you very much.
I just gave them money.
I did. We did.
Yeah, you did too.
All right. Mm-hmm. Vern, Mr. Cron, go.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. For the record, Vern Cron, Senior Park Planner. And to my left is our Deputy Director, Steve Brunner. So we're here today to present this item to the board. Just as a little background for the board, as well as for the public who might be watching, is on February 18th, 2016, the Board of Supervisors authorized the Parks and Recreation Department to submit a grant application to the Nevada Department of Wildlife for a vault toilet and associated site improvements at the Rifle and Pistol Range. Our department is pleased to report today that we were successful and got the grant. So we're really excited about that, and our partners are as well. The grant, as the mayor read into the record, does require a 25% match, a non-federal city match, which is being provided through a combination of private donations, which come from the Carson City Foundation for Parks and Recreation. And we also have another partner as well, the Nevada Law Enforcement Instructors, too. So that was another. So there's three partners involved with this one, and as well as the city. So the city, the foundation, and the law enforcement officers. The money that will be coming from the city's portion is coming through the Quality of Life Question 18 Parks Capital Fund. And I think that's pretty much a quick overview. So if the board does have some questions, I'd be glad to answer them at this time.
Just one question. There's an ADA sidewalk that runs from the vault toilet to the handicap ramp, which crosses the drive area, which is gravel. So in this design, which is in Exhibit D on page 161 of the packet, I'm just concerned on how you're going to protect the integrity of that sidewalk when the drive is gravel and the sidewalk, I assume, is going to be concrete. So there's going to be where the gravel meets the concrete, there's got to be something there to protect that sidewalk, or it's going to get destroyed in the matter of probably a year or two. So has that been contemplated, and are there any ideas on how you're going to protect that?
Well, of course, we'll be going through a process of more detailed site design that you're talking about. And we'll be taking a look at that edge treatment. And you're right. If that edge isn't properly protected either through an additional edge hardening or thickness that we could put in possibly, or having the gravel backfilled correctly against it. Yeah, there's the potential of that certainly, but we will take a look at that as we move through the final design process.
And it's going to be at grade, correct? It's not going to be a raised sidewalk?
Oh, that is correct, sir, yes. The whole idea is that we wanted to be able to have someone who is either in a wheelchair or has some physical limitations regarding their mobilities to be able to shoot at either one of the two covered structures, be able to go down the ramp, and either use the parking stalls there for their parking or for their vehicles, of course, as well as then be able to move across over to the restroom. So we want to be able to do as much as we can with this project, not only to provide the bathroom, but also to provide more abilities for folks who are challenged from a mobility standpoint to be able to get around down over there as well. So this is really, even though the vault toilet is a primary function of the grant, we do want to make sure that we have ADA access and can provide additional ADA access that we don't currently have out there.
Right, and just to reiterate, my concern is that if we build it, we haven't had a very good history of maintaining things out there because we haven't had the funds to do it. So I don't want to build that sidewalk and then have it deteriorate and then not maintain it, which would actually be worse, in my opinion, than not having it at all.
So noted. Thank you.
Questions? Okay. All right. Anybody else? Public comment? Anybody? Carol, you okay with all this?
I just want to make one comment.
We've been waiting for this for a while.
Yes, sir, I have.
Well, I think, you know, you started the ball rolling, I think. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. By the way, for the record, I was speaking to Carol Howell back there. Okay. All right. All right. Any other public comment? I don't see any, but okay. Motion's in order.
Okay. I move to accept a $52,461, 25% match required, Nevada Department of Wildlife Hunter Education Shooting Range subgrant award number W-511-HS-09 for design and construction of a restroom facility and associated site improvements at the Carson City Rifle and Pistol Range, and authorize the mayor to sign the grant agreement on behalf of Carson City.
Second. Motion and a second on the motion. Discussion. Anybody? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried unanimous. Thank you very much, and thanks to Carol and
all
the partners out there doing the raising the private funds. Thanks to the Marines, too. I'm sorry.
You'll make sure the sidewalk's right.
All right. Yeah. All right. All right, we're going to do the item 21, Carson City Treasurer. This is we go through this a little bit. Why don't you just tell us what we go through it, but you say it better than I do. Morning, Madam Treasurer. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. How are you?
All right, Gail. Go.
There's a long process that we have to go through in order to sell parcels where the owners have not paid the property tax for a certain period of time. So this is one of the first steps that we need to do, is have the Board of Supervisors order us to do a possible sale.
Okay.
We've got 23 parcels on the list at this time, and they actually have until the end of March to become whole on their payments.
Okay. All right. Public comment? Jim, I'm sorry. Go.
You do contact them on a regular basis.
Absolutely.
To come forward? I mean, they're not. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Anybody public comment? Or motion's in order.
I move to order and direct the Carson City Treasurer, I'm ordering you, to sell after giving notice of sale for a total amount not less than the amount of taxes, costs, penalties, and interest legally chargeable against the property as stated on the attached list of properties.
There's a motion and a second on the motion. Discussion. Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried unanimous. Thank you, Gail. All right. Now we're going to take up item 22. This is for the Airport Authority, and I don't have my written disclosure out here, but my law partner represents the Airport Authority, and since the Airport Authority appoints legal counsel, even though I'm no longer an active partner in my law firm, this is close enough for me to say I'm going to disclose and I'm not going to vote, so I'm going to abstain. So I'm going to turn the gavel over to the Mayor Pro Tem, Supervisor Abel.
So, City Manager, are the folks applying for this here?
No, ma'am, I don't see them here, but per your policy, as there are two vacancies and two applicants, you do have the option of directing me to finish that appointment on your behalf.
right. Bob Brath, questions?
Nick, I did have one question on this. I talked to Steve Takis, and I just wanted to make sure that we had confirmed that the fixed-based operator position was actually being filled by an active employee of an FBO.
We did. In fact, I can, if you give me a moment, I can pull up that email from Steve Takis where he did confirm that.
Okay, that's fine. You don't need to pull it up as long as it was confirmed.
It was.
Okay, thank you.
Any other board questions? Any public comment on this? If not, then a motion is in order.
I move to appoint Larry Harvey as the manufacturer position for the manufacturer's position of the Airport Authority and Aaron Collins to the fixed base operator position, each for a term that will expire October 2020.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes and one abstention. I will now turn the gavel back to the mayor.
All right, item 22B, ratification of the payment of bills. Everybody had a chance to look at the bills. Public comment, motion's in order.
Right.
Supervisor Bagwell, go. Okay.
I move to ratify the approval of bills and other requests for payments by the city manager for the period of September 3, 2016 through October 7, 2016.
There's a motion and a second on the motion. Discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried unanimous. Thank you. Let's take up planning, item 23. This is the Neighborhood Improvement District. Are you ready? You need time?
Morning, Mayor Lee Plummel, Community Development Director. So it was estimated by the city manager's offices would come up at 10:30. It's a little after 9:30 now, so I know the NID chair wasn't able to come first thing this morning, so she may be here, Jenny LaPiccolo. So it depends on, it's your choice if you want to move forward with this.
Well, let's hear it and see what we get.
Okay.
See where we go. Okay.
All right, thank you. This item is for possible action to adopt a resolution approving and authorizing the mayor to sign a cooperative agreement for public improvement, maintenance, and administrative services by and between Carson City and the Downtown Neighborhood Improvement District that I'll refer to as the NID or NID. And this is relating to ongoing maintenance for off-street improvements constructed along the frontages of private properties within the Neighborhood Improvement District as part of the Downtown Streetscape Enhancement Project. Just by way of a little bit of history background, obviously the project is moving forward, and part of the one of the requirements from the Board of Supervisors in doing that was the formation of this Neighborhood Improvement District, which is essentially an assessment district. They are assessed through the property tax, and the goal of that January of this year, the Board of Supervisors adopted the ordinance that implemented this, and the goal is to offset and have the private property owners help the city maintain the new improvements that are being constructed now for the downtown, and in particular, those new improvements that are fronting along the private properties within that district that was formed. So the agreement, and to follow up on that, the property owners within that assessment district have indeed been assessed for this first fiscal year. So they've, in their property tax bills, they have a line item that includes this assessment. So the assessment has begun. And as we approach completion of the project, we continue to work on the maintenance arrangements and standards for that. We've met with Michael Slogas here now, and he's played a large part. He and I have spent probably the most time working with the downtown NID board. He's probably even spent a little more time than me at some of their meetings, but in working with us and Parks and Rec in particular, who does the maintenance for city improvements now, to come up with the standards that meet city standards for maintenance and the quality of maintenance for city improvements, and those are included in the agreement. We've worked with the downtown board and tried to come up with some of the agreement items for the roles and responsibilities going forward. So let me just hit a few. I'm sure you want to have some questions on some of the details. Let me talk about some of the highlights of what this agreement does. So as I mentioned, it's intended to establish the general responsibilities of the downtown NID and the city with regard to the ongoing maintenance of the new downtown sidewalk improvements and amenities. And in the agreement, as proposed, the agreement, it remains in effect until either party decides to reopen discussion or amend the agreement. So it's not there's not a need for negotiation each year. This agreement just sets out the basic roles and responsibilities, so it remains in effect until it's opened up by either party. As I noted, the agreement relates to the maintenance of only those portions of the downtown improvements that front private properties with the downtown district. So there's quite a bit of the project that is in front of state property. The state will continue and has agreed to continue to maintain those frontages in terms of snow removal and landscape maintenance.
Lee, if I can interrupt you right there, too. I actually ran those numbers just so that we could put them on the record. 29% of the estimated cost for maintenance is for the city and state or federal buildings, city and state buildings. That's 29%. Of the remaining 71%, the city is paying 24.66% of that cost because that reflects the historic amount that the city has spent, and then the NID is picking up 46.34% of the total maintenance cost.
Okay, thank you. So attached to the agreement is a document that is the level of service standards for the maintenance. I'll hit a couple points here. So these are levels of service standards, as I mentioned, that are developed with the Parks and Rec Department. They are to standards that the city would implement based on a budget, and so they're standards that the city would use to maintain and protect these improvements. So they've been worked with through city staff. It's not just what the property owners decide they want to do, but this is in cooperation because they are city improvements after all. And because of the nature of that, it's proposed in the agreement that those standards can be flexible over time and worked with between the NID board and Public Works and Parks and Rec, because there are some details in there. There's enough detail to need to go out to contracts to bid to actually do the work. But as with anything, even with city projects, over time you learn things about what works better and what doesn't. So we don't want to have to come back to the Board of Supervisors every time for every little thing. So it's built into there that we can modify those standards with Public Works, Parks and Rec Department, and the board and the NID Board of Directors.
Lee, can I just ask you a question on that? So what you're saying is it's kind of a living document. In other words, if the NID runs into an issue or Parks and Rec runs into an issue, they can work together on solving that?
Correct.
Okay.
That's a good way to put it. And I think a little finally on just my highlights, as you mentioned, the city continues to put in a share of dollars, $26,000 roughly, each year towards the maintenance of the improvements in front of these private properties. Now, I think you could debate the details of how we come up with that number, but what we've done is, you know, NRS says that the city cannot substitute these private funds for funds that the city was already using. And we use the formula through the ordinance to come up with it, so I think it's a legally defensible number. You know, it's to the dollar, and you could argue here or there what it was, but there's a portion in there that's going to continue to go to the downtown NID, and it's a fixed number that's the city's contribution to the maintenance of that of those areas that they're taking on the responsibility.
Lee, can I clarify something there, just to make sure I understand? Sure. When I look at the maintenance standards, there are items that are grayed out that indicate that the owner, which is Carson City, they will be providing. That $26,000, though, participates in the items that are white. So we're participating with the NID projects, but we are still going to do additional work, which is the items in gray will be our responsibility. And I think it's important that we clear that up on the record, that the $26,000 isn't for the items that are grayed. It's for the items that are white that we're sharing with the NID.
Correct.
Okay. I just want that on the record so everyone is clear on what we're adopting here. So everything that's gray is an additional cost or activity the city will perform.
Just to wrap up, finally, earlier this, let's see who's here now. I know people are still showing up. I don't see any NID board members yet. They met, I think it was earlier in October, is when the NID board approved the agreement that's before you. Since they approved it, and it's been reviewed, there have been some minor technical clarifications and corrections that are added that their board is in agreement with that are no substantive changes to it. So, but what you have here reflects what the NID board has approved and are comfortable with. If it's approved today and authorized the mayor to sign, it would go into effect. Just a couple clarifications within there. With regards to the maintenance standards, we've had some discussion about the flower baskets and have gone back and forth. And I think that's one item in particular that, year to year is one of those details that needs to be worked out and monitored, and, not necessarily that we need to come back to the board. But as it stands now, the greenhouse provides funding for those baskets, provides the baskets, and will continue to do that. So that's something that the NID doesn't have to do. But the NID will get that funding to contract those services so that they are maintained as part of the overall downtown maintenance. And, we've had some discussion about the fertilizer and where that comes from. But those are the, who provides that, right? But I think as it's written, well, the greenhouse provides the fertilizer. So, but kind of those kinds of details, who provides the fertilizer, we can look at each year and make sure we have it right when the NID goes out to contract to provide those services. And kind of a little following up on that, because a lot of questions were raised on this, because there are flower baskets that are not within the district. But as the NID has accepted and as we've explained, as long as the greenhouse continues to provide the funding to provide the maintenance for all of them, they will continue to provide one contract that provides for the maintenance of all the flower baskets, even though some of them are outside the district. So that's kind of the agreement we came to with the NID board. And then the only other little technical correction that was pointed
out. Can I just add one thing? There, as some people call it, the circle of love, those that are definitely outside the circle of love in terms of watering, they water their own, just so you know.
Thank you. And then finally, in the agreement, number 25, it's the second to the last paragraph in the agreement. Supervisor Bunkowski recommended a technical clarification change to the last sentence to read, any changes in the agreement will be presented to and will require approval from both the Board of Supervisors and the NID Board. So we would make that technical correction and recommend that. But other than that, the agreement and standards in there are recommended for approval by the board.
Lee, since, and maybe Mike has to answer this question, since you've been in discussions with the NID and with their board, there had been some discussion on the past pursuant to Section 5, number 2, with regards to what services were extended to 100% versus 75% in terms of what they pay into the NID. So what was the resolve on that? What services are going to be available to the two percentages in terms of pay into the NID?
Where are you on that?
Section 5, page 2, 271 in our packet.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, so referencing your page numbers does not match our page. No, does not match public page numbers. That's an issue in Granicus. We need to work out.
This is regarding the assessment ratios, the 100% and 75%.
Is that in the you're referencing in the ordinance? Okay. Well, let me have some general discussion as it came up. So what you're referring to is there is within the district that's paying, there are properties that pay 100%, properties pay 75%, and 75% properties are those that are not in front of the directly in front of the improvements. So as that came up in terms of this, as they go out to contract, they're going to bid it as bid alternatives for garbage pickup in particular. That's probably not a big deal to go to those couple of garbages that are there and pick those up, so they think that'll happen. The other one is snow removal, and again, with snow removal in particular, that can fluctuate vastly from year to year in the cost, depending on how much snowfall there is. But again, as a bid alternative, is to add in those 75% areas to be included, so that they can see and we can see what if there's enough funding to do that, then they're going to provide those services to the entire area, not just the 100% area.
Other comments from the board? Public comments, anybody? Mr. Garrett, good morning.
For the record, John Barrett, just a question. I appreciated Supervisor Abad's comment. This is a living document. Does that mean that if there, the costs will escalate over time, say 5 years from now, if you've gotten into a reflation cycle and costs have gone up, what is the provision for the city's part and the NIDS part, and the state for that matter, although we can't control them, to escalate the amount going in, or does that have to come back to the board?
Go ahead.
So talking about there are provisions for CPI increases in the ordinance. So that's not part of this agreement document that has been provided for in the original ordinance that created the downtown NID. So there are CPI increases. I will note, because you asked a question and this came up elsewhere, that the CPI applies to the assessment to the private properties within the district. The CPI does not apply to the city's share that is a fixed cost meeting our obligation under the ordinance. So the city's 26,000 plus would stay the same going forward into that contribution, and there's provisions for increases in CPI for the assessment. There's also provisions for a reserve of up to 20%, and once that reserve is met, and if the cost does not exceed the assessment over the years, then their assessment will be reduced accordingly.
Thanks. That's the way I remembered it from the ordinance. But costs will go up over time, so that would have to come back to board, is what you're saying, if they were involved.
So the question, no, there's built-in CPI increases and formulas that do not have to come back to the board each year.
It's actually CPI capped at 5%.
Lee, just for clarification purposes, since we have the NID involved now, the Greenhouse Project in the past has issued a check to Parks and Rec for the hire to do the watering of the baskets. Will that same procedure continue, or will it go through the NID?
Yeah, you may continue to write the check to Carson City. There's an account set up now that is specific where the assessments are going, so that payment would now go into that account. That is for the maintenance of this neighborhood improvement district.
Anybody else on the board? Public comment? Anybody? Are we ready to do this without hearing from the NID with the representation, if they're okay with this? All right, let's go ahead and do it.
Resolution number?
2016-R26.
I move to adopt resolution number 2016-R26, a resolution approving and authorizing the mayor to sign a cooperative agreement for public improvement, maintenance, and administrative services by and between Carson City and the Downtown Neighborhood Improvement District relating to ongoing maintenance for off-street improvements constructed along the frontages of private properties within the NID as part of the Downtown Streetscape Enhancement Project as amended here today.
Motion and a couple seconds on the motion. Discussion?
Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Carried unanimous. Thank you very much. Dolanid, you can send a note to Ms. LoPiccolo.
Thanks for her testimony.
Thanks for her testimony. Very well done. We're okay. No, I don't mean to make light of it either. I mean, but I know that they want to be here, but we'll move on. Okay. All right. Let's take up item 24, non-action items under the board. Anybody?
The only thing I'd like to mention is that the group that's convening to work forward on the fair just had another meeting, and so it's a tractor pull is being looked at for that event as well. So it should be a nice combination of animals, tractor pull, and carnival. So,
do we have a date?
It's the last week in July, the Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Jim.
No.
Anybody else? Anybody? Are we ready to adjourn then?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to do public comment, then we're going to have a non-meeting with our lawyers after. So don't leave, anybody. I mean, up here at the board, don't leave.
This would just be for public comment. Michael Saloga for the record. Was watching a little earlier and understood that there was a little bit of confusion related to the Road of the Future event. Please, please make sure that everybody's checking downtowncarson.org, the DBA's website, for all of the information, all the agenda items that are there, of everything that's going to be happening that day and when the ribbon cutting is going to be and actually where it's going to be. I got involved in some of the initial planning of this right up front. And so the VCP has been terrific in stepping in and helping the DBA with marketing this. So between their two efforts, we just want to make sure that everybody goes there for all of the information related to this event. So if it's downtowncarson.org.
Okay, great. That clears it up. Thanks, because I had different places where we're going to.
We'll probably
go to them all. Anyway. We'll go to them all. We're going to walk them down. It's pedestrian friendly, so we're going to walk them all. All right. Yeah. Anybody else got anything? Sue, is this money?
This, I would like to let everybody know, early voting starts this Saturday. It runs through November 4th. The sample ballots were mailed out on Monday. Now, if you're a new registered voter, we will be doing a second mailing. Hopefully get that out by next Monday. But I just wanted to put it out there and let everybody know to come in and vote early, and maybe not Saturday, but yeah, no, only one time. Election day is on November 8th, and you could vote either at the community center or at the courthouse. So.
Okay, thanks for that update, Sue. That's great. All right. Anything else? Any other public comment? Anybody want to raise anything? Unless there's an objection, then we'll be adjourned, and I'd ask the board to wait. We're going to meet with our lawyers. This will be a non-meeting meeting with our lawyers, so that's what's going on. All right? We're adjourned. You go to the restroom before we lock the door.